Good morning, church. As good as it gets, I'm sorry. Can you understand me? That's the first question. Okay, I'm going to keep going if we can try this out. Let's do a little history. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob wrestles with the angel of the Lord, and his name gets changed to Israel. It means he who wrestles with God. He has 12 sons and one daughter. Her name was Dinah. Of the 12 sons, his very favorite was a little boy named Joseph. Now, here's the problem. All the big brothers got together and they did what big brothers have always wanted to do to little brothers. They sold the brat into slavery. There are about 60 or 70 members of the Israelites, as they are now called. They're wandering in Canaan. There's a famine that hits Canaan. They've got to go somewhere. So the Israelites go to Egypt. And you know what happens? They get to Egypt and they discover that number two in command of Egypt is who? It's Joseph, the little brother they sold into slavery. He welcomes them with open arms and they come into Egypt and they live happily ever after. Now jump ahead 430 years to our text this morning. There's no longer 60 or 70 Israelites. There's almost 3 million of them, and they're strong and powerful. And Pharaoh is scared to death of these people. He does not believe they'll have his back if there's an uprising. So Pharaoh's pretty conniving. He's going to do two things to the Israelites. He's going to work them so hard that they won't be able to have any more children. They'll just be too tired. And he's going to enslave them. And that's exactly what he does. Now leave Egypt and go 7,000 miles to the west. And we hit the Laredo region of Peru. This is the area that's home to the Apayacu River. You know that. It's home to the village of Comandancia. You probably knew that. But it's also home to King Wawa of the Yagua Indians. Can you understand me? Okay, stay with me. I have an audience with a king. He comes in full regalia. His crown is made up of the tail feathers of a macaw parrot. Around his neck, he's wearing the bones of a bushmaster snake. All of his skin is painted red, and he's wearing a grass skirt. He's followed by an entourage of warriors. They're pounding drums, and they're playing pan flutes. They march up to me, and they stop. And the king says, I have something to tell you. And I said, tell it. This is so profound. In his feathers and bones and painted red, the king looked at me and said, I want you to know, we are more than pictures in a book. Wow. We laugh, we love, we cry, and we pray for America. You tell them that. And I promised him I would. And then he told me all the things happening in our country. And I said, king, how do you know the news about our country? There's no radio, television, there's nothing. How do you get your news? And he explained to me that a fast boat, a canoe with an outboard motor, will come zooming down the river with a businessman or a fisherman or somebody. And if they have a newspaper, they throw it out of the canoe up onto the bank of the river. People find the newspaper, they read it, and they share the news with everybody. Now go 10,000 miles to the east. And you hit a volcano that I showed you a picture of this morning called Mount Agung in Indonesia. A pickup truck is going down a dirt road on the far side of Mount Agung, and a magazine is either thrown out the window or falls out the back of the truck, just like the newspaper in Peru. And a young girl named Chica finds that magazine. She looks at it, and it changes her life forever. Chica opens a magazine and she sees girls wearing beautiful clothes and makeup. And she decides right then and there, she will have beautiful clothes and makeup. So Chica leaves her hometown called Tianyar. She goes to the capital city of Denpasar. She gets a job in a restaurant. She makes money and she buys beautiful clothes and makeup. And you would think it would be happy ever after. But it's not. Her boss is a lot like Pharaoh. He's pretty conniving. He begins by saying, "Oh, Chica, I got a problem. One of the girls didn't show up for a folk dance. Could you wear this costume and do the traditional dance at the other restaurant?" "Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to do that." So she puts it on, she goes and dances. She makes more money. She can buy more clothes and more makeup. It's not so bad. A couple of weeks goes by. He comes back to her and says, "Oh, Chica, a girl didn't show up at this restaurant. I got to have a dancer. Could you go and dance at this club? Could you wear this?" And he holds up an outfit that is very skimpy. But Chica thinks, "He's done so much to help me. I better not say no." So she agrees. She puts on the outfit and she goes to discover that she's dancing at what they call a go-go club. She's dancing in a glass cage. And before she knows it, Chica is being sold to 5 and 6 different men a night. Go 6,000 miles to the west and you hit the Ituri forest of northeast Congo. The forest is so dense, there's very little sunshine. The diet is awful, and because of genetics, these combine to create a group of people who are tiny. They're called pygmies. To this day, there are some tribes who don't believe that pygmies are human, and they're hunted for their meat. The Mopala are a tribe who have enslaved the pygmies. They want their land. And if you call them on and say, "You can't enslave the pygmies," the Mopala will say, "No, no, no, we pay them for everything they do." And the classic response is a pygmy grandmother about this tall who put 125 pounds of charcoal on her back, carried it miles through the forest, delivered it to the Mopala, and they paid her with 2 tiny bananas. 1,380 miles south-southeast is Tanzania. A single mother has 2 children. She works for a month to make $15, 50 cents a day. She can't look after her family. It's her best friend. Her best friend tells her, "I have a great opportunity. If you go 4,800 miles to the east to a city called Bangkok, Thailand, you can get a job as a hostess in a restaurant and they will pay you $500 a month. More money than this woman can imagine. So she goes. And in less than 2 weeks, her sponsors have taken her passport. They have sold her into prostitution. And they've told her if she wants her passport back, she has to give them $7,000. Today, the estimate is somewhere between 21 and 46 million people held in some form of human trafficking or slavery in this world. But I'm going to say the number's a lot greater than that because that doesn't include those of us who were held in spiritual slavery. I have known you so long, this won't be bragging, but you may not know this, but I happen to have a pretty successful strawberry farm in northeast Georgia. I don't know if you knew that or not. I have one plant, and the thing just won't die. It's that simple. I get somewhere between 3 and 5 strawberries a year. It's a big deal. If I get a strawberry, I watch the thing grow. And when it gets just right, I pick that strawberry. I bring it in the house with great announcement. I wash it off. I put it in the refrigerator. And the next morning, very unceremoniously, I throw it in my smoothie and drink it down. I was growing this beautiful strawberry. I went out to check on it, and something had taken a tiny bite out of the side of my strawberry. And I thought, you know, I've all the nerve. Didn't eat it, just took one little bite. It's full of ants. This happened 2 more times. That's almost my whole crop. This is just insulting. So I decided I'm going to do something about it. I took my have-a-heart trap, and I filled my trap with peanut butter, and I put it outside to catch the villain, and the next day, I had him. I went out there and stuffed into my have-a-heart trap is an obese possum. He can't move. When I walked out there, all he could do, he turned his head like that and looked at me like, this isn't going to end well, is it? I sat down and I told him everything I've ever wanted to tell a possum. I picked him up and I carried him off in the woods and I opened the cage and I said, all right, now go and get. He just sat there. I said, go, you're free. Go, go, go and go. He just sat there. I said, would you please? I poked him with my foot. All he did was turn his head up and look at me, and if I step out of this cage, you're going to shoot me. No, I'm not. Just go. You're free. He takes a couple of steps out, and he just stops. He looks at me, and I said, go. You're free. And he broke into what I think we call a classic possum trot. And he waddled off into the forest, and as he did it, I thought, you know what? That's the people of Israel. That's the people of Israel. So I've named him Israel. But that's the people of Israel. They would rather stay discouraged and downhearted, enslaved. Well, all the time God is saying, I've come to set you free. Then I thought about, you know what? That's Chica. Why did she stay in a glass cage? Why didn't she run away? Why don't the pygmies make little bitty machetes and little bitty bow and arrows and fight for their freedom? Why didn't the Tanzanian mother go to an embassy and stand there and just scream until somebody helps her? And then I thought about us. Why do you allow guilt to be a way of life? Why pray when you can just worry all the time? Why in the world do you act your age? Why is it so much easier to be bitter than to get better? To be cynical than to be creative? I've got a next door neighbor named Dub Anderson. Dub went to a great school, the University of Georgia. Go Dogs. When he graduated, he decided he would go to New York City and seek his fame and fortune in advertising. So he told his mother, Mama, I'm going to New York City, seek my fame and fortune in advertising. She had the best Southern answer. She said, you can't go to New York City. We're having meatloaf tomorrow. He finally went, came back, had a great career. He's got a boy named Benji. Benji just sold his heritage hog farm. A heritage hog is a pig that lives a pretty good life. Now, here's the problem. He couldn't sell them until they weighed 300 or 400 pounds. And Benji couldn't figure out how you get a 400-pound pig to go up a ramp and into a cage on a truck so he could take it to market. He thought about it, and he finally figured out how 1.7 ounces could move a 400-pound pig. He didn't feed them for 2 days. Then he put the ramp on the truck, and he lined the ramp on the truck with Krispy Kreme donuts that weigh 1.7 ounces, and the pig would eat his way right up the ramp, right into the cage, into the truck, and off to market. And I thought, you know what? Isn't that us? Isn't that us? Come on now. That's us. That's exactly us. I'll just have a little taste of lust. I'll just be greedy about this, not that. I'll just be bitter for a day or two. Oh, I won't stay angry for long. Before you know it, we're caught in that trap just like the people of Israel. And all the time, God is saying, I've come to set you free. Thank goodness. Eventually, the people of Israel heard it, didn't they? What happened? They ended up in the promised land and they were free. Thank the Lord. Chica, you saw her picture. Beautiful child. Chica met Angela on our staff. Angela developed a loving, trusting relationship with Chica. She led that child to the Lord. She got her to leave human trafficking, move into our safe house. She now has a job in one of our coffee shops. She still makes money. She still buys clothes and makeup, but that child is free and she loves the Lord. Justin Wren, a huge boy from Texas, moved into the Ituri forest with the pygmies. He discovered there's something the Mokpala want more than land. They want water. So Justin uses the living water of Jesus to lead the Pygmies to Christ and to cut a deal with the Mokpala. If you will free the Pygmies, give them their land back, I'll drill a well on your land and you can have clean water. And now the Pygmies are being led to Christ and those people are free. And I met Irene in Bangkok. Irene is from Australia. She raised the $7,000 to buy the Tanzanian woman her freedom. She bought that woman a plane ticket back to Tanzania. And she got her a grant for $1,500 so that mother could go home with money in her pocket, her head held high, her relationship with Christ renewed, start her own business and look after her family. And now they are all free and have been led to Jesus. Say amen. Now, come on, that's a big deal. Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, because if we were Pentecostal, this is where the music would start and you'd be up dancing for about 30 minutes. But you know, we're Presbyterian. So just think, sit there and think, well, isn't that nice? Why do you come to church? I come to church because Mama said I'm going to church. If I want Sunday supper, I got to go to church. I come to hear Dan and Randy share the gospel. I come to hear Bessley, magnificent music. I come to see my family and my friends. Do you ever come to church and as you're stepping out of your car in the parking lot, do you ever think, what if it were today? What if it were today? What if it were today that the switch got flipped and the lights came on? I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was a slave, but now I'm free. What if it were today? If you can find her on the internet, she's amazing. Bernice Johnson Reagan sings a John Hurt song out of North Mississippi, out of the Delta, called Since I Laid My Burden Down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. When I count to three, say your name right out loud. One, two, three. All right, now that was kind of practice. I'll say it a little slower. When I count to three, say your name right out loud. One, two, three.
Amen.
Thank you. Now I want you to think about something. What's the burden in your life? What's the thing that holds you back? What's the thing that keeps you from shouting the first time in church instead of our having to kind of prod you along? Is it an attitude? Memory? Did you do something and get caught? Did you do something yesterday, last night? If you had to spend 20 minutes by yourself, what's going to come up in your mind? Didn't matter how long ago it was. When you put your head on the pillow, what is it that clips at your heels? Even now. It was a long time ago, even now. I want you to hear the Word of God, but we're going to do it a little differently. The Word of God is not just the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites. It's really the Lord said to Moses, tell individual names. So I'm going to say, the Lord said to Moses, tell, and then I want you to say your name. Let's practice. The Lord said to Moses, tell. Oh, that was good. We'll do one more time. The Lord said to Moses, go tell that I have come to set you free from the burden of, think about your burden. I have come to deliver you, literally to snatch you back from the burden of, what's your burden? I have come to redeem you, literally to pay the price for you with my outstretched arm. Who do you think he's talking about? So that you will know that I am God, you are my people, and you are free. When you hear that, the only thing we can do, is go to the Lord in prayer right now. And here's what I want us to pray. I want us to pray that today, right this minute, that you're going to envision that burden, and I want you to put it down on the floor of this church, and I want you to leave it there, and don't worry about it. Randy and Dan can clean that mess up later on. But I want you to leave it there right now. See the whole thing about hope? Whole thing about that baby crying? Whole time that baby was crying this morning, I kept wanting to say, you know, Jesus was a baby. Jesus was a baby. That's what we're here celebrating. And that baby was here to bring you hope. And that hope begins when you get out of the possum trap and you lay that burden down. Let's pray right now. Father God, some of us have got burdens we have carried for years. We're greedy. We're scared. We're mean. We can be hateful. We act our age. We're reserved. We hold everything inside. We're afraid to love. Father, forgive us for that. And this day in the strong name of Jesus, let us take our burden and set that burden down on the floor of this church right this very moment. Dear Lord, we release that burden and we leave it there and we prepare to walk from this place celebrating that, oh Lord, I feel better, so much better because I laid my burden down. In the name of Jesus, amen. Take a deep breath. All right, you took a setback, you've turned it into a comeback. What do you do with that? What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything's going to be all right. That means pray. Start building prayer into every waking moment of your life, but please don't go out of here praying, oh Lord, take that burden from me. You've done that. Walk out of here saying, thank you, Jesus. That burden's gone. Thank you, Jesus. That burden is gone. It's gone. Get into his word. We can find you some kind of help to memorize scripture. Just one verse a day. And then build it into your life. Let me tell you what I do. I got sick because I hike. And yes, I can go hiking in the pouring rain when it's freezing cold. Yeah, I'm a stud. I can do that. I have a Roman Catholic friend who taught me when I hike to chant. And in my mind, I'm chanting, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, over and over again. And I've built that into the rhythm of my hiking. And if I build in Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, nothing comes at me from the outside or the inside. And when I look up, I've gone miles. Build God's word into your life. And if you're not involved, you can find them a way to be involved, can't you, Alex? You can find them a way to be involved. If they can't find you a way to be involved, call me. Let's go to Indonesia. Let's go to Nicaragua. Let's go to Dominican Republic. Let's go somewhere and serve the Lord. Why? Because God does not set us free from the possum trap to just sit on the side of the road and watch the world go by or to get up and waddle off into the woods in a possum trap. God sets us free so that we can be blessed to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's what it's all about. I'm grateful for that. I hope you are too. God bless you. Thank you for putting up with my voice. I love this church. I love you. God bless you. You stay strong. God bless America and Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Father, it's fun when you talk to family. They're willing to listen even if your throat's not very good. And it's even more fun when we lay our burdens down and you free us from things that hold us back from you. So this day, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we prepare to leave this place. For we've taken a setback and turned it into a comeback. And now it's time to charge on. For Jesus' sake, amen.